I would recommend going with an established franchisor. I would recommend going with a brand which is known. It always helps to have a spouse who has a steady paycheck when you start a business. If you do decide to go in with a partner, be very comfortable with them and just be sure that they pull their weight.
Welcome to the Business 360 podcast, where we will take a 360-degree view of all things business in under 30 minutes. I'm Rushabh Kamdar, a serial entrepreneur, and some of the best business strategies I've ever come up with have been in my dreams. Is that weird? What's going on, business heroes? Welcome to episode 6. In this episode, we're going to help entrepreneurs who are trying to decide whether they should start a business from scratch or buy into a franchise. So let's get to it. What does Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Holiday Inn, the UPS store, and Retro Fitness all have in common? And no, it's not that they all have the letter O in their names. It's that they all are franchises. You'll find that many well-known brands franchise their business. Franchising is essentially a form of expansion without the high risk. A parent company, called a franchisor, licenses their brand, products, and operations to a franchisee in exchange for a licensing fee and royalties on the sales. The franchisor provides the franchisee guidance and support on operations and marketing. And this is why franchises are so appealing to new entrepreneurs. Because essentially, franchising means working for yourself, but not by yourself. Have you ever heard that franchises have a 80 to 90% success rate? It's a stat that gets thrown around a lot. But the funny thing is, it's from almost 30 years ago. The reality is that the franchise success rate depends on a number of factors. Some franchises have a 90% failure rate because of the industry that they are in, the high cost of operating that specific business, or just bad franchise management from the franchisor. Now, on this show, we simplify things. If you want to get into a franchise, let's take note of the following 5 points. Number one, understand the details of your initial investment. This means how much money do I need from the get-go? Every franchise requires you to pay a franchise fee, which can average around $40,000. But from there, it's a crapshoot. The amount of money you will need will depend on the business, industry, and brand. You may be required to buy or lease equipment, office space, vehicles, signs, and marketing collateral. Some franchises require a storefront built out to match their brand, like a Taco Bell. So now let's throw in real estate, licensing, and permitting costs into the mix. For example, the total investment for a McDonald's can be between $1.2 to $2 million. But on the flip side, other franchises can be significantly lower. So just make sure you know what the initial investment will be when you're entering into a franchise. The second point to know is royalty fees. Franchises take royalty fees on your gross sales, and these fees can range between 3% to 8%. On top of that, franchises also take additional fees for a marketing fund. Now, these fees can be equivalent to the royalty fees that you would pay on gross sales. And also, you should keep in mind that these marketing royalty fees are not to pay for marketing your specific franchise and location, but usually for the franchisor to market their entire brand. To market your specific franchise location, the franchisor will require you to spend a certain percentage of your gross sales on local advertising. And what you're starting to see, hopefully, is a pattern emerging. From royalty fees to brand marketing fees to local ad spend, franchisees are required to spend minimum amounts from their gross sales, and these fees start to add up. So be mindful of all fees associated with any franchise you're looking into. The third point you should know is your net worth. Many franchisors require the franchisee to have a certain net worth and liquid capital in the bank. For example, Pizza Hut requires you to have a net worth of $1 million and $360,000 in liquid assets. Now, don't worry, other franchises will have lower requirements. But franchisors set these types of financial requirements to mitigate operating difficulties from the beginning. In other words, they don't want you to start off in a hole, trying to dig your way out because you ran out or don't have any money. The fourth point to know is to fully understand the franchise disclosure document. The franchise disclosure document is typically called the FDD. And the FDD highlights rules, policies, revenue projections, costs, and expenses a franchisee should expect. The FDD can be large, typically a couple hundred pages, so make sure you give it a good read. The fifth and final point to know about franchises is to be sure about the brand you're signing up with. Larger, more well-known and reputable brands are a much safer bet because their FDD will have more accurate revenue projections and operational costs. If you go with a new franchise, your initial investment costs could be lower, but you're also taking a risk because the figures provided to you in the FDD could be way off. And this is because the franchisor doesn't currently have many locations to pull financial and operational data from. So the numbers you're given are essentially estimations. And you wouldn't want to get into a franchise only to find out that your monthly cost to operate the business is more than you budgeted for. There are 780,000 franchise establishments in the United States alone, and they employ over 8 million people. The franchise industry is an $800 billion industry. Most aspiring entrepreneurs that are looking to buy a franchise, they just want peace of mind. And just like any business, franchise or not, there will be failures and it will cost time and money. Now, to avoid any pitfalls, be sure to perform your due diligence by speaking with current franchisees or reading the FDD carefully, and choose an established brand and industry to avoid headaches early on. Today on the Business 360 podcast, we are welcoming someone who has gone through the entire franchise lifecycle. My guest is Sanjeev Singh, but everyone calls him Sonny. Sonny is currently the CFO at Safety First Systems, a driver safety and training company based in New Jersey. As I mentioned before, Sonny owned and operated a franchise for 101 Mobility. 101 Mobility is a company that offers a wide selection of commercial and home accessibility products for the elderly and disabled. Sonny, I'd like to welcome you to the Business 360 podcast.
Thanks for having me, Rishabh.
Anytime. Really glad, because this is actually a hot topic. A lot of entrepreneurs who want to get into the world of business do tend to look at franchises. So before we have a discussion of the franchise industry in general, I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about 101 Mobility and maybe the market that it served.
Sure. I would love to. So 101 Mobility was a company that was formed back in 2007. And it started off, we were the 15th franchisee to join the model. And essentially, it was for accessibility equipment for senior citizens and people with disabilities. So stair lifts, ramps, vertical platform lifts. The reason why it was important for me is because the demographic itself, I mean, at that time, I'm sure it's changed by now, but at that time, I think 10,000 people were turning to the age of 65 every month. So there was a huge group of people who had a need for these products. And for me personally, this was a good opportunity to do something that would assist people.
When you went for 101 Mobility, what was the avenue that got you into this franchise? Like, how did you discover it to know that, hey, this franchise is available and this is the one I want to choose?
Essentially, what I did is when the idea came in my mind of starting a business of some kind, someone mentioned to me about the idea of getting into a franchise. First step that I took is I got in touch with a franchise coach. The franchise coach sat down with me, went over my finances, went over how much capital I had, and most importantly, went into what I wanted to do. And, you know, and I had a six-figure job. I was, I just fresh out of getting an executive MBA in finance. I wanted to try something that would interest me. And so I got in touch with the franchise coach. He came up with a list of about 10 franchises, which he thought would be a good fit for me. And I made my list down to four. And coincidentally, out of the four, three of them were something that were helping people. So I believe 101 Mobility, the reason I picked that was primarily because of the demographic. And again, it just was close to my heart. I had 2 years before that, I had lost my father. And 13 years before that, I had lost my mother. So I always, I always wanted to be in a position that I could help people, especially the elderly.
What did you see about the senior citizen demographic
that made you realize that this is a viable market?
Right. So the baby boomers were all turning at that time, they were all turning 65. And like I said, the statistic, I mean, it was like some ridiculous number, like 10,000 a month. So there were the people who were on the top of the baby boomer generation, but the people who kind of fell at the bottom of the baby boomer generation wanted to get these for their parents and they had the money to spend. So it was the demographic, was the company itself that appealed to me.
You said you had a franchise coach that introduced you to this franchise. Depending on the franchise, but many of them tend to give some type of support and resources. Were you provided from this, first of all, from this coach, a list of these franchises and the support that they provide to you?
So as it turns out, Rishabh, everybody, when from a franchisor's perspective, when they start going out there and they say, oh, we want to franchise our business, they do come up with what they think is comprehensive documents, you know, whether it's information about Google pay-per-click, which a lot of them help you advertise via, or whether it's a just a marketing document or a training document. So what they handed us was a pretty big folder with different tabs, which were had a lot of training in there. But as it turns out, and again, hindsight's 20/20, but a lot of that was kind of fluff. So, you know, my recommendation for anybody listening to this is that, hey, if you are going to go with a franchise, then go with one that's established and go with one that really in the beginning, because you need a lot of handholding in the beginning. You need one that's really going to hold you by the finger and move you upwards.
So let's take it now to when you're actually operating the franchise. Yeah. All businesses have their own challenges and hurdles. What are some of the most common challenges that you faced while you were running this specific business?
I had underestimated the initial capital that I was going to need. They give you this, again, the FDD, the financial, the franchise disclosure document that you mentioned. It tells you a lot of things. Hey, you're going to need X number of dollars for the franchise. The way ours was structured, it was structured by territory. So we would get one territory for, I believe, about $90,000 at that time. And then the next territory was due after 6 months for $35,000. And you would build it up. And we were supposed to build it up to five territories within New Jersey. What they don't tell you is all the other expenditures that go when you start the business. And the most notable one being, you don't really know how much working capital you're going to need. Because me and my partner, we both came from six-figure jobs. So we knew that we weren't going to immediately start making that much money, and we kind of put aside about 6 months worth of capital. But by the time we could even get to that level, it took us like a year and a half.
So what was the franchise fee for 101 Mobility? And at the same time, what was the total investment, including the franchise fee?
So Rishabh, if I remember correctly, I think the initial fee was like $90,000. Mm-hmm. And then the additional territories were $35,000 each.
The number one reason any business fails, the number one, whether you're a franchise or not, is a lack of working capital. It's a good transition to the question I'd like to leave our audience with is, what advice do you have for any entrepreneur interested in becoming a franchise owner?
I would recommend going with an established franchisor. I would recommend going with a brand which is known. Like you mentioned during your introduction, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, they're all franchises, but not everyone can get in there because the cost of the capital is too high in the beginning, the initial investment that you have to put out. It always helps to have a spouse who has a steady paycheck when you start a business. If you do decide to go in with a partner, be very comfortable with them and just be sure that whoever it is, they pull their weight.
Sonny, I really want to thank you for being on the Business 360 podcast and shedding light on an industry that can be very lucrative, but requires definitely some form of attention, care, research, due diligence, and concern before going down that road.
Thank you for having me, Rishabh.
Thank you for joining us on the Business 360 podcast. To learn more about our guest, go to thinkbusiness360.com. In life, I follow two things that keep me grounded. Number one, if you only listen to someone's successes and not their failures, you've only heard half the story. And number two, compete with yourself and help everyone else. You stay classy, business heroes.